ton of things to talk about here today as we'll be welcoming Troy Downing, Montana's Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, and also our state auditor. I'll go back to this FTX thing. You know, the $42 billion cryptocurrency exchange that collapsed because of complete mismanagement and buffoonery, really. You know, what does that say about the future of cryptocurrency? Regulators, investors, they're on edge about this. So that, and then, you know, do we need to take steps to protect consumers in Montana from these sorts of things? We'll also cover that, fraud, and then BlackRock and Vanguard buying large stakes in utilities. We'll pick up the conversation regarding ESG and how that shapes our future as well. With Troy Downing today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today, 866-627-5483, or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Thank you very much. I hope everybody is well. We're kind of getting closer to Christmas, aren't we? Yeah, a little exciting. Got some family coming in, do you? Well, safe travels. Going to be bit gnarly cold. I mean, I was checking, I got some family in Bozeman. I was checking their daytime highs. Ridiculous for like Thursday. It's not going to be nice. And anyway, that's just part of it, right? Living in our beautiful state here. So we'll do the best we can. You all drive safe and safe travels for all your family. Welcome alongside again. It's two decades strong, working on three. From Montana for Montana. Let's just welcome Troy Downing, a Montana State Auditor, Commissioner of Securities and Insurance. Let's catch up on the FTX debacle as well. I know that this Sam Bankman-Fried has been arrested in the Bahamas, and they're looking at extraditing him to the United States. That's part of this. But really, the person behind it, I don't want to say it's any small part, Troy. Welcome. I hope you're doing well, sir.
I am. Thanks for having me. And this whole thing with FTX is going to be quite a tell in what's going on in the cryptocurrency, non-fungible token, NFT, metaverse, you know, conversation. But before we jump into this, you know, you talked about, our Montana winters. And I was just thinking, this morning I got up and heard this kind of screaming off in the distance. And I'm, what is that? It's like all these folks that moved to Montana in the summer just saying, hey, that show Yellowstone lied to us. It's never winter in Yellowstone. Whoa, how did you guys lie to us? So I'm just waiting to see those taillights turning around and going back to warmer climes.
I've heard that from several people in terms of, we have a lot of people kind of an influx into our state here. And a lot of them who've been here a long time just go, just wait till winter. Just, calm down. Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And, when you start getting into the, negative 20s, 30s, like we're expected to have this week, I think there's going to be a lot of people rethinking their positions there. I mean, well, none of us like it when it gets that cold.
Right. But, yeah. Yeah.
It's still, you gotta take the good with the bad. Yep. It's like the pennies from heaven. If it's never bad, you never appreciate the good.
Yeah, and I love living here. I'll take it. I've been hardy enough, but 30 below is it gets me. I have second thoughts at 30 below. I'll tell you that.
So as long as my car starts, I'm good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. As long as I can get out and get around, and it's only I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks out of the year where it's really kind of cold and you're gritting your teeth and getting by. Otherwise, I ain't going nowhere. And right. I know you love it too, Troy. I appreciate that.
Oh, it's all good. But yeah, so you started the segment talking about this FTX Bankman-Fried debacle. And we've talked about this briefly in the past, but it's just really interesting to see how this entire idea has developed. When these cryptocurrencies, first started showing up, a lot of folks just had no idea what to think of them, because how do you give value to basically a generated, mathematical number?
Right.
So that was the first part. And then when they started seeing this value and, the scarcity of it started creating, more perceived value, there's a lot of me toos. A lot of folks that said, I could have bought this at $100 and it, went up to 60,000. How do I jump into this? And that's created this frenzy. But I think one of the things that really was enticing to some folks is the fact that, originally this was it was an anonymous financial transaction, so there's no bank or government following the transactions. And it's, to the most part, you know, an unregulated currency and unregulated exchanges that, you know, these things are being transferred around in. And so that's what enticed a lot of folks to jump into this. But because of that lack of oversight, you know, we're seeing, and that lack of, you know, that transparency on those large value transactions, I mean, it's a perfect thing for, you know, illicit, you know, money transfers of, you know, drug deals, of human trafficking, of, you know, ransomware deals. And so we've really seen a proliferation of that because, you know, those are, you know, value transactions that are hard to track. So it's perfect for somebody, you know, doing, you know, illegal activities. But the other thing is, you know, like that thought that it's not being regulated or watched by any kind of, you know, central bank is exactly why we're seeing the whole thing blow up in front of us. And what I'm curious about is if some of the, you know, the folks that are still, you know, true believers in this, if they're trying to, you know, explain away the risks, because the risks are real. And what we're seeing with this FTX, you know, essentially this was an exchange for cryptocurrencies. So, you know, like Bitcoin, a lot of people have heard that, or Ethereum, or these different types of cryptocurrencies. And as an exchange, it's kind of like think of a stock exchange. It's a place to, you know, go and trade that. And it got so big that other smaller exchanges were using it as well. And so when that thing came crashing down, it didn't just affect its own, you know, direct customers, but also customers in other programs. Like, here's a prime example. We had another crypto company called BlockFi, and about a year or so ago, we fined them for failure to register. And, you know, it was a big fine. It was a multi-state action. It was almost $1 million that they owed the state of Montana. And they started paying that. We got about a third of that fine. And BlockFi, they were trading their accounts on FTX. So when FTX came crashing down, that also put BlockFi into bankruptcy. So all those customers now, you know, even though they're not directly, you know, investing in FTX in this, you know, Bankman-Fried debacle, they're still being harmed by it. So this is going to be a lot broader than a lot of folks are thinking about. And it's not just, it's not just direct investors. I mean, people have these in their IRAs. They have, you know, cryptocurrency in a lot of different places that people wouldn't think about otherwise.
And, you know, a lot of questions come from this. And I kind of started out talking about Sam Bankman-Fried. And, you know, he's a player in it. But I think the deeper ramifications are what we're more interested in here and talking about it. I mean, and a player, I think, quote unquote, it kind of defines this guy. Will it help for him to be able to testify? I'm not talking about an immunity sort of thing. I mean, that's a lot of money, and they just ran recklessly and foolishly. I don't know how much of it was criminally intended, although I think they were aware of those kind of violations. But do we get anything out of SBF that's going to help, you know, regulate going down the road?
Well, in my opinion, Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, you know, I think he got lucky. You know, he got a lot of people to believe in his platform, you know, a lot of other platforms to trade on it, and he started making a lot of money in a very short amount of time, and he got very cocky, and I think he really believed that he was going to be able to do something bigger, and so some of this is. His allegation, you know, he hasn't had his due process or his time in court, but, you know, what it appears to have happened is that he took investor deposited funds and moved them into a closely held company that he had that was a basically a hedge fund for cryptocurrencies. And so he took, you know, and not moving without their permission or putting at risk investor funds is, you know, sacrosanct in terms of being a fiduciary to these depositors, but he took that, moved it somewhere else, and started playing Vegas games on it. I mean, basically, he was, you know, levering that. He was borrowing against that value to do other trades, and when those started failing, he had, you know, no way of paying back the money that he had secretly borrowed. So, you know, there was definitely an intent to enrich himself at the expense of these depositors, who had every reason to believe that their deposits were, you know, untouchable in this type of a scam. So in terms of, you know, criminal intent, it depends on how you frame that. Criminal activity, absolutely. If that's what happened, you know, that was criminal activity. And I think a lot of the times when you have folks that get into these giant failures like this, even going back to Bernie Madoff, when he first started, you know, moving funds around or faking returns, you know, I speculate that he thought that he had some opportunity to make a bunch of money, move somewhere, and it didn't work. And eventually that just starts blowing up and getting bigger and bigger to the point where you can't fix it. And that's when all of a sudden, you know, you get like with FTX and Bankman-Fried, you get, this run on the bank. You know, people hear that things are in trouble. They start trying to get their money out. Some of them, you know, that go early do get their money out. Some of them don't. And pretty soon the whole company becomes insolvent. And that's what we're seeing here. I mean, they basically saw market value drop $31 billion. And now they've got, you know, billions of dollars of missing assets, and they have no way of paying that. I mean, if in bankruptcy court, they just don't have the assets to pay back everybody the deposits that they made. And the main reason, I know I'm kind of talking in a monolith here, but the main reason is there was no oversight. He wasn't following any banking or securities regulations. And as much as we all like to say that we hate regulations, there's places where they're absolutely necessary. Right. And in terms of dealing with, you know, people's investments and finances, you know, knowing that you're not being defrauded and that certain things are forbidden and checked on by a third party, I think prevents things like this from happening. This would never happen, you know, on the New York Exchange. This would never happen in a, you know, regulated financial business. So that's the thing. And going back to my original comments, you know, the attraction was that nobody was watching. The risk is that nobody's watching.
and that's what I'm gonna take a break here. Troy Downing is with us, Montana State Auditor, also Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, a long history in public service as well, and not only that, in our military. And I always thank you for that, Troy, very much. Come on back, and then we'll talk about the regulation. You and I, when we had a conversation and we were chatting, just to let you know, it was at Stock Growers Convention a couple of weeks ago, and you talked about, there is, well, first of all, it's sort of like what a regulatory sandbox is. And then there are functions that were in place that would have notified or at least given us fair warning on this. We'll talk about how those might have failed and how those can be improved, and a lot more to go. We'll also get on ESG here today with Troy Downing on Voices of Montana.
Montana hospitals make a promise to improve the health of the communities they serve. Here's Lacey Starcevich sharing her experience with St. James Healthcare in Butte.
I was struggling with addiction when I found out I was 11 weeks pregnant and sought care at St. James in Butte. Through the Metal Arc Initiative, I was able to confront my mental health struggles and addiction and make positive changes in my life. Now I have two healthy young boys, a stable relationship, a job in the healthcare industry, and I own my own home.
It's one more way our hospitals are keeping their promise to Montana.
Well, this may be just in time. The Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program is accepting nominations now for Montanans dealing with dangerously cold temperatures and power bills. That's ahead with Brian Bennett on the Northern News Network. We've got some headlines upcoming, but you know, we talk about that here. The price of energy has been always very important to our economy. It has been always closely regulated. We just shouldn't have a haphazard approach to moving forward with what I call an irrational rush to renewables without these kinds of considerations, because we don't, especially with this kind of cold coming up here too. Perfect example of why you can't have an energy grid that is susceptible to brownouts and blackouts. Not in Montana. Anyway, that's another topic. I bet Troy's got some thoughts on that, too. We're with Troy Downing, Montana State Auditor, Commissioner of Securities and Insurance. I know you deal with fraud as well, and so that consumer, those pocketbook issues, boy, that's right up your alley, isn't it, Troy?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I'm pretty proud of that we've done in this office is, you know, we see a lot of financial abuse scams perpetrated on seniors. And so we started a financial abuse specialist team that specializes in crimes against seniors and works with other agencies, can work with, Health and Human Services, can work with DOJ, with Adult Protective Services, with all those other agencies, you know, with county attorneys and, you know, around the state. But, you know, really having a team, we've got, lawyers, prosecutors, investigators that all deal with that stuff. Because, you know, we have an aging population in Montana. We're one of the oldest in the country. And the other thing is that the vast majority of the wealth in the state is, you know, held with seniors, which makes them targets. And some of this stuff is just some of it's really just heartbreaking. And you see how these fraudsters will start to entice somebody into one of these schemes. And, you know, they go everything from romance schemes where, you know, they create a fake online persona to, you know, gain somebody's trust and then start asking for money for plane tickets or rent or, you know, sometimes even bigger. But, you know, we had one that came in recently, which I thought was really interesting because it was basically a timeshare scheme. And so what happened on this one is somebody called a Montanan and basically said that they had a Mexican investor who was interested in buying her timeshare. And, you know, it was a price that got her interested. And so she started talking to these folks. And then the next thing you know, they said, well, we need a little bit of money because the transaction's in Mexico and you need a registered agent. So wire some money here. And then the next thing after that as well, you know, we also need a Mexican lawyer, so you need to wire some more money. And so it just kept adding up all these wire transfers. And so in this particular case, this person basically did 5 wire transfers from her Bank of Montana to Mexico. And then on the 6th one, the bank said that they were not comfortable doing any more because it seemed like it was fraud. And that concerns me a lot, that the bank was looking at this and thinking there was fraud involved and did not report it. And so I'm going to talk about that in a second, but just to finish this story, so this victim then moved to another bank and did another 5 transfers to Mexico. And to pay for this whole thing, took a home equity line of credit out on her home, so borrowed $160,000 and transferred it all away, and now there's no way to recover it. And so one of the laws that we have in Montana that I'm really disappointed wasn't used in this case is we have these delay and report laws. And so if a bank, the teller or whoever you're dealing with, the bank or in a, securities and like a wealth manager or a brokerage or a broker dealer, if they believe that the transaction you're doing is fraudulent, they can delay it. And so the money doesn't go out right away, and then they can report it so it can be investigated, because once the money's transferred, it's gone. And so I was really disappointed in this case that, when we interviewed the bank, the person said that they thought this was fraud from the first transaction and allowed 5 to go through and never reported it. So, you know, we're trying to get that message out to, the brokerage firms, the banks in Montana, to let them know that they can't be held liable if they delay something where there's expected fraud and possibly, keep that money from, going out like that. Because the story I just told you, the ability to get that money back from wherever it went in Mexico is pretty close to zero. Yeah. So it's just tragic. And now that person has a home equity line of credit, so basically a second mortgage on their home that they have to pay that they don't necessarily have the income to service. So it's just a really, really sad thing. But if for the listeners out there, if you think you're being defrauded, or your parents or your grandparents or your neighbor or whoever, call us, because the way that we educate folks on what to look out for is putting these stories together. And sometimes we can get restitution. Sometimes we can, we can track down the bad guys. And then in the worst situations where there's actual where we found somebody guilty of defrauding, there's sometimes sources of funds with our restitution fund in Montana to help, get some of that back through that fund, if not through the perpetrator. So I really encourage people to call us if they have any questions or concerns or just think something might be wrong.
I'm glad you covered that, because that's important, especially this time of year. We look at a lot of holiday attempts at fraud and scams. They do everything so well and so technically complete. Well, I shouldn't say that's always the case, but they're hard to detect.
One of the things that they do that really helps them perpetrate these is they scare the victims out of telling anybody. They say, okay, this whole thing's going to blow up if you tell anybody in your family, if you tell your banker, if you tell your lawyer, if you tell anybody. The whole thing is, so they really, you know, instill in these people that silence is of paramount importance. And so they're always afraid to, you know, bring it up to anybody. And so, you know, there's a lot of times where even a family member will say, hey, something doesn't seem right. And they'll be so adamant in not talking about it because they've been conditioned by these fraudsters to not tell anybody about it.
And there is a chance for restitution through a program, the Lynn Egan Securities Restitution Assistance Fund, that can help victims of fraud. Also, as you mentioned, that formation of the Financial Abuse Specialist Team, or FAST. And so if you find yourself in that kind of situation, even if you're you just have questions, if it's that uneasy feeling even, please call the auditor's office. That's Troy Downey, Montana State Auditor, Commissioners of Securities and Insurance. All right, we'll come on back and get in. I got these headlines to get to, and then we'll talk about what regulatory sandboxes are and how they are effective and how they perhaps can be troublesome. With Troy Downing, as we come on back with more.
Mountain Health Co-op.
Work-based health insurance not working for you and your family? Aware of new tax credits that reduce premiums for dependents? Now's the time to enroll. And if your work-based health insurance isn't working, Mountain Health Co-op has you covered. With benefits like dental and vision exam reimbursement options, many zero cost-share medications, and telehealth access, Mountain Health Co-op can help you start saving on services you use most. Mountain Health Co-op, keeping you covered when it counts.
Regulators and investors alike have concerns over this exchange collapse, cryptocurrency exchange, FTX. It's a month plus now in. And we're talking more about it and seeing what we found out. Troy Downing is with us as Montana's Commissioner of Securities and Insurance and Montana State Auditor is in charge of handling and monitoring these things. Troy, again, I appreciate your time here. Let's go into what a regulatory sandbox is and why it's important. And was FTX operating in a regulatory sandbox?
No, they were not, but regulatory sandboxes are kind of an interesting concept. And essentially what that is it's a place for a regulated business like an insurance company or a, you know, brokerage or, you know, something like that. It's a place for them to do business in a state where they don't quite fit within the existing regulations. And so really it's an attempt to allow companies to innovate, which, you know, I'm 100% behind. Mm-hmm. And so the way they work is these regulatory sandboxes, the company will have a proposal for something and they'll want some relief on some part of the regulation. And so that's where, you know, the regulator's scrutiny comes in of deciding, you know, what is reasonable to relax and what is not reasonable to relax. And so, you know, on the insurance side, you know, there's certain parts that really matter to me as the insurance commissioner. And so one of those is, you know, your reserves. So make sure that you're going to maintain solvency. And so if they're trying to get, you know, any kind of relief on the reserve side of it, we're very, very unlikely to approve that because they may not be able to pay their obligations if there's claims. The other thing is anything that makes it easier to commit fraud or, you know, unfair or illegal discrimination. So those are kind of the things that we see on the insurance side. Now, on the security side, that's been really interesting because, you know, I've been, you know, approached many times about doing regulatory sandboxes in Montana on the security side. And mostly these are cryptocurrency operations, and they want relief very often from banking laws, from money transfer laws in Montana. They want to have, you know, some relief on being able to set up these cryptocurrency mining operations in Montana. And the part that scares me most is a lot of these folks, when they come, the second thing that comes out of their mouth is they want to have some kind of reciprocity with other states. And so that scares me. It kind of gives a door in of circumventing certain parts of the regulatory environment, and especially on the security side, and especially with these cryptocurrency things, because we're starting to see that unwind with FTX. That stuff scares me. And then on the other hand, on the insurance side, I've been asking the same questions when folks come and want to do a sandbox in Montana. I said, well, what is it that you want to change that you can't do in the current environment? It's for the most part, it's been crickets until very recently. We had a company that had something that actually I said, that actually makes sense, because it's not going to affect solvency.
Troy, stand by. Up to a break here. Back with more from Troy Downing in a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
We asked Montana farmer Walt Sales about the challenges of mental health in agriculture.
Another drought. There always is. There's always going to be another something. I grew up in a generation of you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. But it's become evident is, what do you do if you can't even find those bootstraps? If you need to talk to somebody, go to beyondtheweather.com for free counseling for Montana ag producers.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Thanks for being here. Hope you're doing good. Hope you're kicking it, right? Having a good holiday season, too. Tom Schultz alongside the 2 decades strong. We're working on 3. We'll keep working away here. News out today. This is just something that will probably fold into our conversation with Troy Downing. State AG, Attorney General, sounding the alarm about BlackRock, Vanguard, two big investment companies, Berkshire Hathaway, buying large stakes in utilities. Why is that problematic? Because of ESG, and I know Troy will have some things to talk about on that. One more note to pass along here as well. Hallmark researchers say they're close to developing a second movie plot, which I think is pretty significant, especially this time of year. So actually, that's a joke. That comes from the Babylon Bee. Thought it was funny. But ESG is not a joke. We'll talk with Troy about it here. Troy Downing is with us, Montana's Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, and also the state auditor, and somebody who's very, very going to be tied into this FTX debacle, this cryptocurrency exchange that collapsed. A lot of it was because of poor regulation. A lot of it was because just of fraudulent and illegal management. Troy, thanks again for being here. So you get requests to create these regulatory sandboxes, and I know it's you kind of have to walk a fence line, I suppose, in what you allow, there's not abuse, but also you don't want to overregulate, so you can't innovate.
That's really the balance on that. And just to kind of put a bow on that whole discussion is, yes, Montana's open for innovation, and there's so many things where there's just opportunity to innovate. There's a lot of smart people trying to innovate. We want to make sure that the folks understand that we will listen, consider, review innovative products in the insurance and securities industry in the state. But to the extent that it creates some undue risk to investors, like what we saw with FTX, because that was completely unregulated, or like on the insurance products of not having adequate reserves or making it easier to commit fraud or illegal discrimination, then that's where we kind of draw the line on that. And so, the way that we deal with that is when we create these regulatory sandboxes, it's not just carte blanche to bring in whatever product you want. They have to actually apply to this agency, and we review those, and we give them a thumbs up or thumbs down, or give them guidance on what they can change to make us comfortable that we're doing our job and protecting Montanans from from new product that may have unintended consequences. So that's something that you'll see coming up in this next legislative session. We don't currently have a sandbox, but that is something that you'll see coming up this next session.
Oh, good. That's something that we'll want to talk about then. How concerning is these investment firms like BlackRock and Vanguard. I just noted a story about them buying large stakes in utilities. There's regulations regarding that up to about 20%, yeah. But they're asked to waive some of those limits. And as far from an investment standpoint, from a securities standpoint, what is ESG going to? And I should explain.
Go ahead. That's a good point to start, because I know there's folks listening who have never heard of ESG. There's folks that have heard of it and are not exactly sure what it is, and there's folks listening that know exactly what it is. But just for the benefit of all, this is one of those things where there's that old saying that just because you're not interested in government doesn't mean the government's not going to be interested in you. This is something that folks should be watching. And ESG, briefly, is energy, social, governance, but it's much broader than those three letters. And what we're seeing with companies like BlackRock is they're starting to change their investment strategies to be to combat climate change or global warming, and they're starting to be stricter about what they'll invest in and what they won't. And this gets much bigger than just BlackRock. So Director Gensler, who's the director of the Securities and Exchange Commission, he basically put forth some new rules for comment, and Montana commented, believe me, the director of SEC knows exactly who Montana is, basically requiring a granular level of reporting of any climate effect of anything coming through as a security. And, I'm simplifying a little bit, but think about this. You want to start a business, that deals in, like a restaurant. And that's a security or a public company, and you use beef. And so you go back all the way to the beginning of that beef and you say, well, how much methane was coming out of that cow when it was growing up? Well, how much, what was the carbon footprint of eating grass? And hey, what was the effect of, the diesel used to get it to processing? And so you start going to that level of granularity to show if that business is environmentally friendly or not. And so the danger of that, if you start requiring that, first of all, it's going to be really easy to manipulate because that level of detail is so difficult to achieve. Mm-hmm. But what you're going to start seeing is what they call blacklisting and greenwashing of companies. So investment dollars are going to start avoiding these blacklisted industries that have anything to do with, agriculture, natural resource development, energy, and they're going to start greenwashing, their pet projects that they think should be invested in. And so as you start to see investment dollars following these greenwashed companies and avoiding these blacklisted ones, that can have a devastating effect on any state that has an agricultural, natural resource, or energy component to its economy. And so when we reached out to Gensler about that, we were really specific about, his job as director of the SEC is to protect investors. My job as the commissioner of securities in Montana is to protect investors. So let's all just stay in our lane, because that's getting out of the lane and trying to, solve problems perceived or otherwise that have nothing to do with that business. And one last thing, because this is another reason why this is so important for people to be think about this and concerned about this, is insurance. Most insurance has a reinsurance component. So, like, you get your homeowner's insurance, and then they reinsure part of that risk with one of these big, European syndicates, like, I'll say Lloyd's of London, for lack of a better one. Most people have heard of Lloyd's. And so these European syndicates are starting to avoid putting risk where they think there's a climate effect. And so here's a prime example, and I think this will help your listeners understand how potentially dangerous this problem is there was a university in North Dakota that was non-renewed on their insurance policy, not because of the American insurance company, but because their European reinsurer found out that they were using fossil fuels to fire a boiler that they used to heat the campus. And so if it gets to that point where all these big reinsurance companies stop writing reinsurance because they are concerned about using fossil fuels to run a boiler to heat a campus, and that's dangerous. If you start seeing that grow, we're going to see tighter and tighter reinsurance markets, which is going to, at best, cause premiums to go up. At worst, make some things uninsurable. And so this is something that folks need to be paying attention to.
Yeah, and leadership is going to be important here too, because as you mentioned, it's SEC Chairman Gensler, and he is a former Goldman Sachs executive, a Clinton 2016 campaign a manager, and FTX associate as well. And recent news about him whitewashing his calendar with certain meetings with certain folks raises questions as well. So definitely something to keep.
Really, what we need to do is we need to get the politics out of this, mm-hmm. and that's just become a very political thing in every industry they can touch. They're trying to say that it's unfairly discriminatory to this group, or that it's causing some kind of climate change impact, and they're bringing all these other things, which I'm not saying those aren't reasonable conversations for somebody to have somewhere, but when they start to infiltrate these core industries like securities and insurance, it can really have a devastating effect, especially you mentioned BlackRock. When you think about the effect of investment dollars searching greenwashed and avoiding blacklisted, it's not the listeners on this call that have their retirement accounts, with an investment with a broker, or some that have more personal trading accounts, or have money that they're investing in stocks. That's not it. It's these big sovereign funds. It's these pension plans. It's these really big money places that are going to start looking for that type of investment, and you're going to see investment dollars avoiding things that are really meaningful to Montanans and Americans that are in rural and agricultural and natural resource heavy states. And so that's why we need to really be paying attention to this.
Let's. I got only a few more minutes left here, and I wanted to get a quick comment out. I got two people who want to get on with a quick word here. I want to save some time for that. But I wanted you to mention TRICARE from last legislative session into this session, and then also quickly to what might be some of your priorities in January.
Well, and this one, the TRICARE one, this was an interesting one, because this was kind of in my lane and kind of on the edge of my lane, because TRICARE is basically the health insurance program for our National Guard members, active duty, and retired military. And so TRICARE, basically, they have a PBM, a pharmacy benefit manager, that handles their prescription drug programs. And last session, we sponsored a PBM transparency bill to start to really look into what was happening in the cost of the prescription drug supply chain. But what happened with TRICARE and why it caught my attention is their PBM Express Scripts basically was cutting out all of these independent pharmacies. And so the Department of Defense, was on board with TRICARE cutting out independent pharmacies. And think of how that affects somebody in a rural state. If you don't have a big box pharmacy, if you don't have a CVS or something in your community, and you're a retiree that has to drive two or three or more hours to get to one, I mean, that's a huge disadvantage. And so when that came out, it kind of bugged me, because it was going after our veterans, our retirees and our active duty. And so we wrote a letter to the Biden administration, and also started talking to the representative from Express Scripts about how devastating this was going to be to military members in rural states. And I'm really happy to say, and kudos to TRICARE for dialing this back. They reopened that and allowed these independent pharmacies to start bidding to be back on that prescription drug program. Because if that was left to stand, obviously, if you live in a dense community with lots of options and big box pharmacies, it's not going to affect you as much as somebody that really depends on that local independent pharmacy. So, we're happy that we got that. And also, I have to send kudos where it's due, because our entire congressional delegation also got behind that. Senator Daines, Senator Tester, and Congressman Rosendale. So, kudos to them too for being part of this and making sure that they're watching out, not just for our Montana veterans, but also for our local pharmacies in the state, which so many communities depend on.
Thank you for doing that. We'll see if we can get quick comments in here. Skip, listening in Hamilton, KLYQ, you're on the air here with Troy Downing on Voices.
Thank you, sir. And Troy, thank you, sir, for what you're doing, providing us with lecture halls once in a while on the radio. It's kind of interesting how in depth and how complicated your job can be. And I think you really have our back. I remember when Matt used to have your job. And sir, why I called and was going to ask was, in your military background, do you think that helped you at all in the job that you do today, as to how you pull things together and have our backs? And then I'd just like to tell everybody Merry Christmas and also Happy Hanukkah.
Skip,
thank you, sir, and I'll listen off the phone.
Thank you for that. You got like 10 seconds, Troy.
Hey, Skip, yeah, thank you. And I think the military, you know, helps a lot of folks. It helps you put together teams. It helps you put meaningful positions in those teams where you know you have their back and they know that you have their back. I think that always comes into play in trying to do anything in any kind of office. And Merry Christmas to you, Skip. I appreciate your call.
Yeah, and Troy, we're out of time. Inga from West Glacier listening. Inga, stand by. I'll chat with you here as well. I know she has concerns about an insurance company that she believes is not paying claims. So I'll point her to your office.
Have her call our office.
Yeah, you bet. Troy, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for coming on. I know that we're just new into this FTX thing, but I'm very curious as to how it will regulate going forward. So we'll be back in touch. Of course, you got the session upcoming too, and I know you're busy there. So I look forward to chatting with you, Troy.
Merry Christmas to all, and we'll talk to you, you know, after the holidays.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Troy, very much. Appreciate that. A lot to sink in there. Back with more from Montana for Montana's Voices of Montana in just a bit.
As we celebrate Christmas, you may wonder if Jesus Christ can make a difference in your life. You bet he can.
Franklin Graham.
That's why he came, to save us from our sins. He came to earth as a babe, took our sins to the cross. 33 years later, he died on the cross and God raised him to life. He's not dead, he's alive. If you've never put your faith and trust in him, you can do that right now. Just pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I've made a wreck of my life. I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as my Lord from this day forward. Amen.
If you prayed that prayer, please call us at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, 855-255-PRAY. That's 855-255-7729, 855-255-7729.
God bless you, and Merry Christmas.
Have maybe a chance this week to look at what's in this omnibus funding package, which recently was just unveiled. It's over 4,000 pages. It's $1.7 trillion. Again, this is not a really good way to run government, is by patching up our budget. There's regular order. There's a budget process. It hasn't been followed for more than a decade, and it was when there was Republican control of the House, which is where all this starts. But even in the Senate, there's no regular order. Got a note today that safe banking bill, which I think is pretty important as we look at recreational marijuana having to be an all cash business. That was not allowed in this omnibus bill, and it's just not a very good way of governing here. But we'll dig into this $1.7 trillion budget omnibus here at some point this week. My thanks to Troy Downing and you as well. Thanks to Cody Ross, our most excellent in-studio engineer. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.